When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Happy Thursday, everybody. It is April 18th, 2024. The Gamecocks are 2 days away from holding their annual Garnet and Black spring game at Williams-Brice Stadium. It will take place under the lights, 7 o'clock on Saturday. Appreciate you guys tuning in today, whether it be on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, wherever, and wherever throughout the country. We appreciate you, and we'll have probably some more hopping on with us over the next couple minutes and during the course of this next hour. Today, we heard from offensive coordinator Dow Loggins. We also had a chance to listen to defensive coordinator Clayton White. The two shared their thoughts on how spring has been going. In addition, they also talked about some of the things that they're hoping to see on Saturday in this spring game. So we'll get to the coordinators in just a little bit. Talked about it a little bit on Tuesday. I shared my thoughts on some players that I'm looking forward to paying close attention to in this spring game. I'm sure that many of you have some players in particular that you guys are looking forward to paying attention to. So let us know. Let me know who you're looking forward to seeing. Could be Lenore Sellers, right? It's the obvious one. Could be maybe Mazio Bennett. Maybe you're excited to see what the true freshman can do. Maybe it's Dylan Stewart, the five-star edge. Maybe it's someone like Judge Collier. Makari Swain, some good competition in that cornerback room. So let us know who you are looking forward to, and we'll discuss that throughout the course of the show as well. Also, we'll talk a little bit towards the end. There was a good quote from Dow Loggins today talking about Spencer Rattler as he gets ready for the NFL draft. Draft is just a week from today. We will not have a Thursday show next week, but we will kind of discuss it a little bit more on Tuesday, on GC Live Talking Tuesday. That will be a day where we'll recap what we saw in the spring game. And we'll also look ahead to the NFL draft, Gamecock Central, like we've done the last 2 years. We will have plenty of NFL draft coverage for you on the Gamecocks, all those guys who are looking to play at the next level. And certainly you think of Rattler, you think of Xavier Leggett, as those two guys will most likely be the guys that get drafted the highest. And then we'll continue to go after that and see guys like, you know, Nick Arjulo, Trey Knox, Marcellus Dial. Those are just a couple that come to mind who were invited to the NFL Combine. But that doesn't mean if you weren't invited to the Combine, that doesn't mean you won't get drafted. Doesn't mean you won't sign with the team as an undrafted free agent. Marion Brown being one of those players. So we'll have plenty of NFL draft talk on Tuesday. Having said all that, spring game Saturday. I mentioned it today on Quick Slants. And if you're not a subscriber, sign up today. GC, just $1 for the first month. Get access to all the premium coverage. This was my annual rant piece, as I like to call it. A couple of reminders. And I'll kind of hit on some of the things I talked about. You could read the full article on Gamecock Central. Number one, slow your roll. And what I mean by that is we're going to go into this weekend, and it's inevitable. It's inevitable. There's going to be at least one player, maybe more, that will just absolutely ball out. And yes, I know Shane Beamer talked about it yesterday. Clayton White talked about it today. We'll hear from White a little bit. They do put stock into this spring game. But that doesn't mean that what we see on Saturday is the full story. There's been 14 other practices this spring. How guys are progressing, how guys are improving on technique. How's that growth? Are they consistent? Sure, they're able to go out there, and there's some guys that are just gamers. But if you're one of the younger guys, if you're a newer face, you can't be just a gamer. You have to be someone that goes out there every single freaking day, and you prove it that you're consistent day in and day out. So I bring up Jason Brown, for example. This is from 2 years ago. And JB was a great story at South Carolina. Continues to support the Gamecocks despite moving on to Jackson State. Actually moved on to Virginia Tech first, then Jackson State. Just finished up his college career. But I remember Jason Brown went out there and he tore it up in the spring game. And there were some people at that moment, they're like, wait a minute, maybe JB should be the starting quarterback. He's like, well, pump the brakes. So I bring that up because it will happen. It will happen on Saturday. There'll be somebody. And don't get me wrong, would love to see at certain positions, like wide receiver, like running back, like quarterback, you'd like to see certain players step up, no question about it, in rooms where you have questions about, and some more than others, right? You look at the quarterback room, and I've been saying it for a while now. It's not like it's a big secret. I think we all expect Lenoris to be the starter week one, but what do you get from Robbie Ashford? What do you get from a guy like even Dante Reno in terms of pushing and trying to compete? Because we don't know yet. Never mind the starting quarterback. Who's going to be the number two? Last year, Luke Doty played mainly wide receiver, but he was also the backup quarterback. So these are the things that we're starting to look ahead to in this game on Saturday. It doesn't necessarily mean that all these questions are going to be answered, but we'll have a better feel. This coaching staff will have a better feel. The players will have a better feel as to what they should be ready to expect in fall camp. You're starting to gather information where you can say, all right, this makes sense now from a depth chart standpoint. And I get it. Coaches will always say it, especially at this time of the year. Well, there's no true depth chart. Yes and no. There's some positions it's like, come on, right? Debo Williams. Come on. You look in the safety room and some of the experienced players they have back. That one's a little bit different, even though I feel like it's safe to say that DQ Smith and Nick Emanuori will be their top two corners. Safeties, while Jalen Kilgore will play nickel. Could be some competition there. Jalen's a hell of a player. And if they feel like he can make a impact and help the team as a whole by putting him in that nickel spot, I bet you they will do that. But if, God forbid, one of those safeties, they're not performing the way that they expect them to, you could see Jalen sliding back in there, especially if they feel like they can find someone to play nickel. So these are just some things that we'll have plenty of fun with throughout the summer. The crazy thing to think about is this. So the spring game is in 2 days. It can be April 20th in 2 days, right? So it's April 20th, essentially the end of the month. But bear with me here. April to May to June to July. And while USC hasn't announced when they're going to be reporting to camp, I wouldn't be shocked if everything moves up a week or a couple days simply because they're playing a game in late August. August 31st is their first game. So I say that because fall camp's going to start up in just over 3 months. 3 months and some change. So it's a quick turnaround. It really is. You go home as a player, you're able to kind of relax for a little bit, but not really. You go home, you have your workout pamphlet. You're trying to make sure that you're still eating pretty good. I mean, let's call for what it is. Some of these guys will go back. They'll have a couple drinks, a couple cold ones by the pool. Maybe go hit up one of their favorite sub shops or whatever. Have some wings or whatever the case may be. But you need to be ready because those 3 months will fly by. And for a lot of those players, they'll be back at the end of May and they'll get ready for the summer workout regime, which takes place here. And we've seen a lot of players do that over the years, and we've seen some of the benefits that have come from it. Moving along, number two, spring game attendance. It's essentially turned into a Gamecock measuring contest, if you know what I'm trying to say, where people get so freaking pissy, depending on what that number is. Honestly, who gives a rat's you know what? Who cares what the number is? Do you think Johnny Four-Star out there, when he comes to Williams-Brice Stadium, he cares what they say over the PA system? Whether it's 30,000 or 40,000, wherever the case it may be, he doesn't care. Now, what they are looking at and what is important, we're talking about spring game attendance, because I don't want to seem like it doesn't matter if anyone goes. Of course, there is benefits to it. The atmosphere. I think back to that 2018 game against Missouri in the monsoon, better known as the Michael Scarnecchia game. And I don't know. At that point, maybe there was 15,000 people still left in the stadium, 20,000 of the nearly 80,000. I think at that time they still had over 80,000 seats. Now it's like 77, 78,000, but you get the point. It was loud as hell. If you closed your eyes, you would have had no idea how many people were in that stadium. You would have had no clue how far off you would have been. So I say that to say, you could have a stadium where it's 20,000 people, but if it's loud as hell, give me that on Saturday over 35, 40,000 people, and it's a, you know, wine and cheese crowd. We know that's not how it gets in Columbia. We know that's not how it gets at Williams-Brice Stadium. But the point being is, don't get so caught up on whatever the number is that's announced. No one's going to have a friggin' parade for the Gamecocks just because they hit X amount of people in a spring game for attendance. I mean, come on. I mean, some people get so friggin' caught up with that. It's just like, come on. Lastly, what you see doesn't mean it's what you're going to get this fall. And I think for a lot of you, you get that. And what I mean by that is for this spring game, you're not going to see what the offense is truly doing. I mean, shoot, we'll hear from Dal Loggins in a little bit to kind of steal his thunder. He's going to keep it vanilla. He's going to keep it vanilla. And why wouldn't you? Never mind the fact that the game's televised and your opponents are going to have access to being able to watch that just like the rest of the country. But on top of that, you have a new quarterback. You don't think there's going to be some new wrinkles in this offense this year, especially if Lenore Sellers is Dal Loggins' quarterback? Of course there's going to be. Spencer Rattler was able to do certain things that, at least at this stage, Sellers can't do. But there's also things that Sellers brings to the table that Spencer Rattler wasn't capable of doing. So what do I expect? Again, we'll hear from Dal, that vanilla-ness. I get it. Not really that appealing when you're trying to sell people on going to the actual spring game. But I think what matters the most is just how guys perform in the sense of execution, technique. And again, this is some of the stuff that Dal will talk about. But if you're running the football, run friggin' hard. Make guys miss. If there's a slant, there's an out, there's a whatever, catch the damn football. Do the little things. Protect the football. Lenoris, protect the football. Robbie Ashford, protect the football when you're throwing it. Keep your quarterback upright. Just little things like that, right? So, I get it. People are going to want to see an offense that will put up a bunch of points. And on the flip side of that, you're hoping that the defense does well and doesn't give up a lot of points. I mean, that's the thing about a spring game. You're going to have to decide, all right, so we'll see. We'll see how this game goes. Last year was different in the sense that you had Dal coming in. He didn't know these players, and he mentioned that today. He didn't know these players the same way he does now. I think we'll see a lot of new faces. The transfers will have a lot of opportunities to play. Freshmen will have a lot of opportunities to play. Even sophomores who are competing to see more playing time. I think we'll see those guys get a good bit of run on Saturday. That doesn't mean we won't see the starters, but I expect some of these underclassmen to really have an opportunity to ball out. See what some of the comments have to say, and then we'll head on over to listen to what Dal Loggins had to say today. Nick Babb says, I'm looking forward to seeing how the battle in between Lenore Sellers and Robbie Ashford, and also who steps up at wide receiver one. I think that second point, Nick, and I agree with you on the first point too about the quarterback competition, that's the big thing to me. And Gage Laverdine is one player in particular, and I've said this on Tuesday, I really want to see what the hype is with all this kid. And that's not to say that, like, you know, he's not talented. When I say, what's the deal with this kid? What's the hype? We've heard so much about him, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Goes without saying. But we've heard so much from this coaching staff in the press conferences. We've heard from the players. I've heard from people that I talk to on a regular basis inside the building as to what's going on throughout the 14 practices. There have been 13 so far. They'll have practice 14 tomorrow, and then the 15th practice will be the spring game on Saturday. But I want to see what Gage is all about. I want to see someone like Jared Brown, who I still think can be the number one wide receiver here. I want to see what he can do, as well as some of the younger wide receivers that we've talked about, starting with Mazio Bennett. EXO Make says, hello, looking forward to the weekend. Same. Looks like the weather's going to be good. It's a hot one right now. Be hopefully a nice one Saturday night. Oscar Radaway Jr. says, hi, guys. What's going on, Oscar? Nick Babb says, I'm looking forward. I'm talking about the battle again. Looks like that was sent twice. Travis Edwards says, what's up, GC Live fam? What's going on, Travis? Zachary Barker. My eyes are getting bad, folks. Getting old. Says, what's going on, Mike? Guys that I'm looking forward to are Seller and Ashford at quarterback, Dylan Storrett, Desmond Umeozulu at edge, Jules at D-line, Mazio Bennett, Tyson Russell at wide receiver, and all the young cornerbacks. Tyson Russell, I'm glad you brought him up, Zach. That's a guy who, what he was able to do last year in limited time, limited action. I really like some of the things that Russell did. And in a room that features three new faces via the transfer portal, never mind the fact that DeBron Gatling's here, the true freshman, and you also have another early enrollee being Mazio Bennett, as you mentioned. Russell's a guy that I feel like's kind of getting overlooked a little bit. Russell, as well as, if you want to talk about the running back room, just to throw this comparison out, kind of like DJ Braswell in a sense. So with Russell, what's going to be interesting is, in a room that desperately needs to find playmakers, desperately needs to find guys that can step up and create separation, catch the ball consistently, be someone that Sellers or Ashford can count on each series, this is going to be a tremendous opportunity for him. Tremendous opportunity. And one thing that Beamer mentioned the other day, it was on Tuesday during his press conference, when you look at the offensive line room and you look at the wide receiver room from a scholarship standpoint, they're under the amount that they would like for those positions. Now, South Carolina, as of right now, from a projection standpoint for the fall, they're projected to have 85 scholarship players. I've mentioned this before, kind of like the NFL with the salary cap. The cap is crap. In this case, talking about the scholarship limit, same deal. At this time of the year, you can always manipulate these things come fall. You can always find a way to make it happen. So do I believe that USC will go into the portal and find someone in the offensive line room or find someone to add to the offensive line room or wide receiver? I think it has to be the right fit. I'm not going to be surprised if over the next couple weeks, next month, we hear South Carolina has added a player or two to those rooms, if not one, if not somewhere else. But those two rooms in particular are rooms that Beamer mentioned on Tuesday. But I say that because if there's not as many people in that wide receiver room from a scholarship standpoint, and that's not to overlook any of the walk-ons in there, it's going to give some of these players an opportunity, these wide receivers, an opportunity to have a little bit more play time on Saturday in the spring game. So a guy like Russell, make the most out of it, man. Make the most out of it. EXO Make says, was a pretty good press conference today. Really good question and answers from the coaches. Loggins was pretty direct and blunt as usual. Yeah, I always like coaches that will just be like that, right? I mean, enough of this, you know, beat around the bushes. Let's just get right to it. So at this time of the year, you would expect that. You would hope for it, but not always the case with every coach. What's going on, Craig? Happy, happy, happy says, evidently, the quarterback passing game isn't there yet. Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see how it looks. The Steel Curtain. What's good, y'all? What's going on, Steel Curtain? Travis Edwards says, they know who they want and expect to start. Coaches just don't want to put that info out. I don't know if you're talking about specific positions, if you're talking about quarterback, and I'll have Dal talk about that in a little bit. I truly believe they want to keep this thing going because you want to see how players respond. What's the point of naming, I'm just going to use quarterback for example. What's the point of naming Lenore's the starter right now? Like, what's the upside that his teammates know? I thought Dal brought up a good point, which we'll hear in a little bit. At some point, the players know. The players have a better feel sometimes than the coaches of who that guy is going to be. But if anything, it's just only going to continue to motivate Sellers as well as Ashford and everyone else in that quarterback room by not naming someone sooner rather than later. Or, yeah, I have that right? Yeah, sooner. Wait later. Definitely have that backwards. But I think, honestly, and I've said this before, I wouldn't be shocked if we don't hear who the starting quarterback's going to be until the middle of August. Because I just don't think there's any rush to do it right now. Now, if Sellers comes out and plays out of his friggin' mind on Saturday, and there's just this big noticeable difference between just the gap between him and Robbie, or never, don't forget Luke Doty in there as well, and the other quarterbacks in there, Davis Bevel, Dante Reno, then okay, then I get it. But especially with them playing so vanilla, or that's the expectation, according to Dal today, that the playbook will be, I don't know if that gap will be that noticeable. It could be. I think that doesn't mean Sellers can't go out there and still have a phenomenal game. And we're not looking at it like, all right, well, we'll see how things go in the fall. But that's kind of what I'm expecting. Still, Curtin says, is Kilgore still going to get time at safety? The big question is, who's going to be our starting nickel? Right now, if you had to ask me, I think Jalen Kilgore will be the starting nickel. He did some good things at the end of the season last year. But when I look at it, and you have, especially if these guys are able to bounce back and play, and I say bounce back when I'm talking about DQ Smith and Nick Emanwori, they had phenomenal freshman seasons. That's not to say they didn't have good seasons last year, but they want to be able to elevate their game. And when you look at those two players in particular, and you throw in the fact that you have Jalen Kilgore, well, guess what? You have three safeties, three talented safeties at that. Three guys who, at one point or another time, they were all All-Americans, true freshman All-Americans. Of course, all these guys, I mean, you got Kilgore going into a sophomore year, Nick Emanwori, DQ Smith are going into their junior years. I bring that up to say, especially in this era now that we live in with the transfer portal, if one of these guys aren't playing at all for whatever reason, and they're the odd man out, you really think they're going to stick around? That might not be the case necessarily for all three of those players. They might not, you know, every single one of those guys might feel a little different. But I bring that up to say you have to find a way to keep all three guys on the field somehow. And it was a challenge at times last year. We talked about this in the offseason leading up to spring ball. It was a challenge at time last year because two reasons. One, they wanted to be able to figure out who could they play at nickel, who could they trust at nickel. But on top of that, they realized, shoot, we have a really talented safety room. We have three really talented safeties. And Jalen was still learning the nickel position. I feel like towards the end of the season, we saw him really come into his own with it. It's not a video game. It's not a video game, folks. You're not just going to be able to throw a player out there week one and everything's going to be the way that it's looked towards the end of the season. Yeah, there's outliers. Certainly, there'll be players that can get thrown into the fire and they're able to play at a very high level as true freshmen right from the jump. But that's not always the case. So I think one of the reasons why we saw what they tried to do at the nickel position is because they try to find a way to put three really talented guys on the field. And they went with the more experienced players like Nick, even DQ at times, at that nickel spot because Jalen was still coming along. But that's what I expect. But we'll see what the competition looks like at safety. Because like I said, Jalen could look really good at nickel. If, God forbid, one of these guys in the safety room, and there's nothing to make me believe that this will be the case, but if one of these guys takes a step back, they might say, Jalen, we want you at safety. And we'll throw in David Spaulding at nickel or whatever the case may be. So I'm not going to rule out on that. I think Kilgore will play both positions at some point this season. Andrew says, uplifting. The first seven people. Gotta love all these. Let's see. I'll delete that one. See, I don't have intern Joe to go through all the garbage for us. See, the steel curtain. I know Kilgore can play nickel, but I just don't know, to be honest. All right. Let's see. All right, we got a lot of comments. But here's what we're going to do. I'll try to go through some of these a little bit quicker, and then we'll get into the press conference in a couple minutes. Martin says, I wish David Spaulding could stay healthy. He has shown flashes. I hope this is the year for him. I hope that he can stay healthy because he has experience at nickel, and I think that can just give USC more flexibility with how they want to use Kilgore if Spaulding is able to play well there. Because, again, I think Kilgore will be that starting nickel, but that doesn't mean we won't see him back at safety. If that happens, though, who do you put in that nickel spot? Spaulding could be that guy. Will Korb says, if Robbie is the QB, we are in deep trouble. Why would you say that, Will? Want to know your opinions on it. We haven't seen Lenoris out there against a first-team defense. And that's not to say, again, I think he'll be the week one starter. What I'm trying to get at is pump the brakes a little bit on some of these guys simply because we haven't seen them against starters. And if, God forbid, Ashry comes out and he balls out and he deserves that opportunity, which, again, I think Sellers will be the guy, why wouldn't you go with Ashford? So that's the reason why I disagree with what you're saying, but that doesn't mean both guys will play great. That doesn't mean, shoot, if both guys play like crap, then I'm right there with you to a degree. Nick says, it shows how much we care, even if it's just a spring game. No question about it. No question about it, Nick. It's the beauty about being down here. I've been down here now for, 8 years in the South, or South Carolina, 9 years in the South in general. I've covered 9 years of SEC football. This will be my ninth year coming up on the Gamecocks, but I covered a year in Mississippi. That's why I love it. I love the passion you guys have. Travis Edwards says, Mike, I always felt hiding plays is overblown. I'd prefer we see a bunch of what we run, which makes DCs have to prepare more. I don't fully disagree with what you're saying, Travis. I think it's kind of like a preseason game. And obviously, college football, they don't have that. So in preseason games, you run a little bit of what you're going to do in the regular season, but you're not showing everything. I think it's kind of like that. So Dal calling it vanilla, I think some people it's going to be taken out of proportion. Or it's going to be blown out of proportion. It's going to be taken out of context because they hear that vanilla and they're like, oh, this is going to be real boring. I think you'll see some. You'll see some, but I wouldn't go crazy. There'll be probably some trick plays in there for an entertainment stand. I don't know. We'll see. But nothing that you would want to show teams out there in that regard. Now, that doesn't mean completely open the playbook, but at least 60, 70. I hear you. Juwan Howard, I think you mean Howell. William Dean, the running back from South Carolina State. Yeah, Juwan Howell, I mean, he's a big boy. For someone like, when I say big boy, he's got some mass on him. He's got some muscle on him. He delivers a pop. I'm excited to see what he's able to do. Travis Edwards says, Mike, I think Gage is lightning in a bottle and can play at a faster speed than most. We'll see. We'll see on Saturday. I hope that's the case. Justin Hill says, I'm looking forward to seeing the running game and the line of scrimmage control. Tricky thing about the offensive line, and we don't have the rosters right now. We'll come out at some point later tonight, hopefully. But the way they're doing the draft, they're separating it by having captains. Last year, I think they had Luke Day, the strength and conditioning coach, as a captain as one team, and then you had Clint Haggard as a captain for the other team, who's a trainer for South Carolina. And they broke up the team, so you don't have like the true ones and ones working together. Like, it's a little, you get a little mixed bag is what I called it last year. So to me, that scares me from an offensive line standpoint, even though these guys have been cross training and a lot of these guys have had opportunities to work next to each other. Even if they're not true ones, it could have a one and a two working together. But that's one thing I'm interested to see in Saturday scrimmages. How does that look just in general? Because I would love to be able to take something positive away from the offensive line, but I'm always a little skeptical in the sense of, okay, you have a mixed bag working together. Guys that might not necessarily play with each other, play alongside each other during the season. That doesn't mean, okay, Mike's throwing an excuse out for the offensive line. No, I still think the offensive line is going to take steps forward this year because of the depth, the talent, the experience that they were able to add on top of the talent that they had already acquired over the last couple of years. And some of that young talent that was forced to play last year, right? You think of a guy like Aluatosin Babalade, he was thrown right into the mix. A guy like Trevon Baugh, he was thrown right into the mix, both true freshmen last year. And at the time, we looked at it and we said, okay, we can look at this as the glass either half full or half empty. Big picture at the time, it's like, well, it's probably half empty because you have to start two true freshmen at that, on the offensive line in the SEC. And naturally, there'll be some type of growing pains. Now, both players held their own. But fast forward to now, you look at that glass, it's half full now. Simply because both those players gained so much experience from a year ago. My point being is, in the moment, certainly you don't want to see that happen. You don't want to see two guys go down. And that wasn't just two. There was a handful of offensive linemen that went down last year. And now you're forced to have two true freshmen play in the SEC and start on the offensive line of the SEC. No one wants to see that. But that's the cards that USC was dealt last year. Move ahead now can be turned into a positive because of that experience. D1 Trey says, Which walk-on do you think will start this season? Ooh, I like that question. I don't have an answer for you right now, Trey. Let me think about that one. I'll give you an answer on Tuesday. I don't want to seem like I'm dodging the question, but I want to put some thought into it. So let me answer that on Tuesday. I know sometimes you hop on the Tuesday show, so hopefully you'll have a chance to listen on Tuesday, and I'll answer that question because I like that question. Start? I don't know about start, but provide depth, see some serious playing time, either offensively or defensively. That's how I'll answer it. Because I don't know about start, but I'll give you an answer on Tuesday, Trey. I'm marking that one down so that I remember that question. Cam wants to know, is alcohol for sale in the stadium during the spring game? I'm going to be honest with you. I have no friggin' idea because typically I'm in the press box or sideline, so I have no idea. I've never attended a South Carolina spring game, especially since they started selling alcohol in the stadium as a spectator for a spring game. So I have no idea. Maybe someone on here knows. I wish I could answer that question for you, Cam. I don't know. William Dean says, Brady Hunt. By the way, kind of promoting this a little bit, the Gamecock Bourbon Society will be doing their third annual event, and it's going to be held at CB18. That is the bar that's owned by Cox by 90, as well as former Gamecock quarterback Steve Tannehill. They're going to be having an event tomorrow, and Brady Hunt and Lenore Sellers will be there. I don't know how many tickets are left. Some of you might be going to it. Some of you might want to go to it. I think there's going to be a bunch of former Gamecocks there as well. But if you're interested, I wish I had a link, but I would say go check out on Twitter, X, go check out the Cox by 90 account, and I'm sure there'll be a link there. I wish I knew where the link was. I'll see if I can try to find it when we play a little bit of Dow. Craig says 100%, you take a wide receiver. Okay. When we do take a wide receiver, you got to get one with size. That'd be great. Would be great. All right. I know we had a lot of questions. We still have a lot of them. I'm going to try to get to every single question today. But we will get to the press conference from earlier today. Dow Loggins sporting a little mustache now. Not sure how long this will stay, but Dow Loggins sporting a mustache and talking spring ball. Here's what the offensive coordinator had to say today.
Dowell, just looking at naming a starting quarterback, do you have a target date about when you want to do it? And what's the philosophy between, say, deciding in the spring and deciding maybe halfway through preseason practice?
Yeah, it's a really good question. We could probably spend 30 minutes on it. There's advantages to both. We've had 13 practices, so guys have had good days, bad days, continual growth. You're going to have that. The advantage of doing it is if you did it early, well, then everyone knows who it is. It's also, you still got a whole training camp in summer. So what happens if, one of these young kids are all of a sudden the new guy, is a little bit better because he's been through it all. And the second time executing it, he's better at it. So, you evaluate everything. We've had 13 practices. Obviously we're not ready to do that right now. We're semi pleased where with everyone's at, but there's a long way to go with all of that. The disadvantage is, most of the time the locker room knows who the best guy is, but based on practice anyway, or they have their own feelings of that. And to be honest, most of the time the locker room knows before the coaches know, because it is their team. The good teams are led by the locker room. And the disadvantage to not naming a guy is there's still five quarterbacks out there. And it's like, hey, who do we follow? Who do we lead? And it's the mentality of do your job like that. Keep the main thing, and worry about the things you can control. And same with those guys. So we're not there yet. We've had 13 practices. We have two left. So at some point, Coach Beamer and myself and the rest of the offensive staff will sit down and talk about this. I don't. You know, I wish it was that easy where it's like, but it's kind of a feel. It's kind of, you know, they're going to determine the depth chart a little bit themselves as well.
How do you manage spring practice and the portal when you're trying to add some pieces for the fall?
Yesterday was hard because think about this. You come in and you got to correct the tape from the day before with your own players. And your phone's dinging every 10 seconds from a GA saying, this guy got in, this guy got in. Then you got to check and make sure that guy got in. And then you got Pro Football Focus. So you're putting their names in there and you're watching their tape. And it's a constant grind till 1 a.m. last night of trying to get guys evaluated. Because for me, this is my third year in college football. So I don't have this huge resume of players that are in the portal. And so everything's brand new to me. So I'm sitting there. Our GAs and analysts are sitting there saying, hey, so-and-so, because they're scrolling Twitter and they're doing all that stuff. And you got to check and make sure their name got in. And you're trying to do everything the right way as well. And you're evaluating, you know, 30 kids yesterday off Pro Football Focus tape and watching it. And then if you like them, you got to go back and watch a game. Because if you just go off the highlight, it's like a movie trailer. Like sometimes the movie trailer is a lot better than the movie. You go and you're like, I just waste all my money. And you're navigating that stuff too. So yesterday was a long, hard day. A lot of film was watched. A lot of people were evaluated. And it's like that. It's so fluid, and you're going to deal with it for the next 2 weeks on top of trying to go out and have a good practice today and being locked in on what, you know, we had scripted and installed and making sure we're teaching our own players. So it is a challenge right now.
Now, I'm sure there'll be some things on Saturday that you guys do from an offensive standpoint, but I'm sure there's going to be some other things that you guys don't want to show simply because the game's on TV. I bring that up because when you evaluate what guys are doing in this spring game, how much of it is just simply, okay, execution, and then how do you kind of factor that into what you guys are going to ultimately try to do this fall?
Yeah, it'll be vanilla ice cream, I promise that. I like vanilla ice cream, but not everyone else does. They want the sprinkles and the syrup and, yeah, all the toppings, and it's not going to be that. But it's going to be about execution, technique, and fundamentals. Anytime you go on the field, it's important. Every time you practice, it is the most important thing we do. It is the only thing in this program that really matters is practice. It's the only way to get better. It's the only sport. Think about this, basketball and baseball, they play games to get better. We practice five times a week to play one game. They play games to get better. So that's why it's really important for us. So it is an opportunity to, you know, I guess we're doing a draft and we'll split up. So people will be playing with different people and those things, but it'll be more about technique, fundamentals, making sure we're executing our simplest form of offense.
Got a couple for you. One, Shane said Tuesday that you were probably going to call plays for both teams that hadn't decided yet. Is that going to be happening?
We'll talk about that later. That's still not been decided. I'm literally between portal and practice, like Saturday seems like a year away.
And then kind of know you said it's technique, it's fundamentals, it's that kind of thing. But what would be a successful spring game for you? Is there anything you're kind of looking to see specifically?
Then we got better. You know, it's like one more opportunity to get better, make sure that we've improved in an area that we weren't great at on Tuesday, Thursday. We've got a small practice tomorrow as well. But that's really what we're looking at. It's like the individual steps to get better. And like this is the ultimate team sport, but there is an individual. The only way to make the team better is improve yourself. And making sure that each guy is getting a little bit better than they were the day before.
All right. There you go. Had a chance to listen to Dal Loggins a little bit. I'm going to fast forward to Dal talking about Spencer Rattler. Again, we'll have more draft analysis on Rattler and Xavier Legette, Marcellus Dyle, Trey Knox, Nick Gargiulo, Marion Brown. Just to name a few, we'll do that more on Tuesday as well as a recap of our thoughts on the spring game. But I had a chance. To ask him and try to pull it up for you guys. So bear with me. All right, so found it. Here we go. This is what Dal Loggins had to say about Spencer Rattler looking to get drafted next week, looking like it's going to happen. But here's my question to him about Rattler.
Dal, I know you've talked about it a little bit in the past, but I mean, a week from today, it's going to be the NFL draft, and for Spencer. He's trying to make some Gamecock history. What can you tell people on the outside, whether it be a coach, whether it be a scout, GM, what they're getting when they draft this quarterback?
Ooh, I've gotten a lot of calls, and it's picked up a lot the last week. What you could tell everyone is what's on tape. You're talking about an extremely tough, tough player that's got an unbelievable throwing motion. I mean, his throwing motion is – it's what you want. I hope my son throws like him. He won't, because mom, dad, and God only gave him so much. But this guy's an extremely blessed thrower. He's a great teammate. He's an unbelievable teammate. And, you know, there's a show – some show that was silly and back, and I don't think it portrayed him the right way from what I saw, because what I see is an unbelievable guy that cares about his teammates. Go ask Luke Doty, Lenore Sellers, Tanner Bailey, what they think about Spencer Rattler. You know, that was an unbelievably close room, because our leader was Spencer. It was not me. It was Spencer. Did everything the right way and took everyone in, cared about the other guys in the room. But, and it's the thing we talked about with Spence, is this thing was going, and it like never complained about a leaky offensive line. And he's making all these NFL throws, you know, these three level concepts. But these throws that, like, you know, you go back and what I told him, the play against Georgia on 3rd-and-10 in the rain, you're playing the number one team in the nation on the rain, and Trey drops the ball, but like getting hit in the face and being able to throw that on time, accurately anticipate it right there in the biggest game of the year versus the number one team in the rain. And like now everyone's starting to see it. They see the talent, but like, you're getting a guy with high character. He's got a great mom and dad. That's the biggest thing. I tell this to these GMs that call me, these head coaches that call me about Spence, the ability to overcome adversity and deal with prosperity. Spencer's done it. And when you go do a hard look at these guys, just going through hard times in life, it's not fun, but the NFL, you're going to go through that and be able to get on the other side of it. Because everyone's gonna be looking at you, and you're going to be in a major media market majority of the time. And to be able to stand there and take it on the chin and own the bad, praise the good. I think Spencer's gone through all that stuff, that he's better for it because what he's gone through. And I think he's fireproof and he's ready to go.
There you go. Dal Loggins talking about Spencer Rattler as he gets set for the NFL draft next week. Draft's going to start up next Thursday. Again, we'll have more coverage on it starting on Tuesday on Gamecock Central. I have breakdowns on every player that gets signed, and we'll keep you posted all weekend long next weekend for the guys that don't get drafted, who sign or get invited to an NFL training camp, mini camp, all that fun stuff. So, well, plenty of that next week on Gamecock Central, but some good stuff from Dal Loggins on Spencer. Let's see. Travis asks, Mike, do you think Lane Kiffin is extremely confident with his team? It might be the fact that Saban is gone. I can't see a coach wasting a practice to have a dunk hot dog eating contest. Yeah, so for those of you who don't know what Travis is talking about, Ole Miss had their spring game last week, if you want to call it that. And it was essentially a flag football game. They had American hero, Joey Chestnut. He was there eating hot dogs. Don't know why, but hey, he was out there. They had some tug of war. They had some competition in there as well. But, yeah, I mean, look, every coach, and I talked about this today with Wes, Chris, and Tyler on 107.5 The Game, that a lot of coaches look at the spring game itself differently. We heard from Beamer on Tuesday. He talked about it. He said, look, I look at the spring game as an opportunity to evaluate these guys, and I'm paraphrasing, but to evaluate these guys based on how they respond under pressure. For some of these guys, especially the younger players, it could be the biggest stadium or the biggest crowd that they've ever played in front of. And we're talking about a spring game, never mind the fact of playing in front of nearly 80,000, if not more, if you're on the road playing a game in the SEC. So I think that's important. I think with Ole Miss, and we're using them as an example, that's how they chose to go about their spring game. And I'm going to be honest with you, even though I don't entirely agree with wasting a practice like that, I'm not going to be shocked to see more of it in the near future. And I'm not saying Joey Chestnut will be at all of them, even though that'd be pretty freaking cool. That's probably the coolest thing about their spring game, was that Joey Chestnut was just there. But I think what we will see is we'll see teams try to make it more I don't know, entertaining. I mean, I'm sure, and I didn't listen to any press conferences from Lane. I should go back and listen because I've talked about this twice now. I'd like to know his thoughts because I'm sure he talked about it. Like, you know, why are you doing it this way opposed to playing in a spring game? And I'm sure, without even hearing some of what he had to say, I'm sure some of it may have to do with injuries. Maybe they were banged up to a point where they didn't have enough offensive linemen, or maybe they were worried that guys were going to get hurt. I don't know. I mean, it could have been that. I'm not justifying it. I don't entirely agree with it because at the end of the day, it's football. Football is not a contact sport. Football is a collision sport. The purpose of the game is to bring down another person with your body. I mean, things are going to happen, unfortunately. You try to do your best, especially throughout the spring. Practices, spring game itself, the course of the season, in practices. Obviously, you want to try to stay in games too, but you only get 12 opportunities from a schedule standpoint. So, yeah, I mean, it stinks. Shoot, I went through it. I got hurt in practice. I broke my friggin' hand. I mean, it stinks when you're not able to get out there, whether it happens in the spring, whether it happens just in a fall practice. So, like, I get it, but at the same time, too, it's football. It's part of it. Things happen. All right, let's switch things up a little bit here. See that there's some more comments. Big Red asked, do we have an itinerary for the spring game day? Do you have any specifically, Big Red? Are you asking about the game itself? Like how like the structure will be? Or are you talking about everything leading up to it? Like they're going to be doing a concert across the street. I think Patrick Davis will be there. They'll have a lot of things going on around the stadium. I don't know exactly what time the fairgrounds and some of the tailgate lots will be opening up at. But from a spring game standpoint, if you're asking about the actual game, no, we don't have that. Shane Beamer will be at Carolina Calls tonight, Backstreet Grill at 6 o'clock. I wonder if he has a better idea tonight. I think that was asked on Tuesday, Big Red. Not by me, but by one of my colleagues at Media Availability. And at the time, Shane, I believe, and again, I'm trying to remember. I mean, all these days get bunched up because Beamer talked on Tuesday. We had four players speak yesterday. You had two coordinators speak today. Never mind anything else going on in the world of Gamecock athletics with baseball, women's basketball coming off their national championship, transfer portal now. But I believe he was asked, and basically what he said was they're still trying to figure everything out. So I wish I had, let's see, activities. Okay, Big Red, activities such as Gamecock Walk and things like that. Okay, so there will be a Gamecock Walk. I don't have the exact time on that. I'll post that on, we'll have it on Gamecock Central. We'll also have it on my Twitter. Let me see. I might be able to find this for you real quick. Trying to find this for you, Big Red, on their website. Because I'm going to be honest with you. It was announced so long ago that I can't even remember what they said. The exact time. Could be 5 o'clock. I mean, I'd say 5 o'clock. I could be wrong, though, but in that ballpark, based on what they typically do on game day. So we'll have an exact number for you, though, an exact time on Gamecock Central. So I wish I could have had that number for you. We'll move on over now to Clayton White, defensive coordinator, spoke with the media today. Here's what White had to say.
Good afternoon. Hope you guys are doing great. Obviously glad to be here, getting right to the spring game. Been a nice little good 4.5 weeks of just, you know, football, coaching football, and just enjoying it. Great place. Excited for Saturday night. Get back in Williams-Brice. You know, our fans will be great like always. And just looking forward to getting back out there on Saturday. Any questions?
Clayton, I think you spoke before about 4-2-5 versus 3-3-5 and how you'll kind of just use all that as a base. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you anticipate, you know, having to switch in and out of it, say 50-50 per game? And do you start that work in the spring, or is that more of a preseason camp kind of thing?
Yeah, we're definitely going with the flex nickel. It's definitely 50-50, right on the nose. You know what I mean? So we've done a good job this spring of sprinkling both of those in. There were some days, depending on who was practicing. It may be more 3-3-5, maybe more 4-2-5, depends on the personnel, like always. But today was probably a 50-50 day. I mean, that's one of the things that we felt like we ended the season with. We want to kind of always do what's best for the team.
I was just in here talking about how preseason and spring football type stuff's better for defensive coaches. You can kind of just tell guys to follow rules a little more than offense can. Do you agree with that assessment? And kind of what are you looking to see Saturday from your guys? What would be a successful spring game?
A successful spring game will be obviously clean football on both sides and, you know, walk away with, you know, nobody getting banged up, you know, no toe injuries or anything whatsoever. Just come out clean as possible. I think the most important thing for us is just executing calls. Like, yes, I'm very competitive. I'm not really caring on who wins the drill. I'm more care about us executing the call and then obviously competing in the end, and whoever wins wins, but very, very, you know, serious about us executing our calls. That's the most important thing. Is if we make a call and don't drop the wrong way, then all of a sudden, you know, I think there was one spring game, we had a guy wide open in the right corner and I'm still mad about it. So just want to be able to execute calls whenever calls are called.
Clay, and I asked Shane this the other day, mm-hmm. but for you as a defensive coordinator, there's obviously several positions in particular that really stand out in mm-hmm. terms of that competition. How much stock do you put into the actual spring game and what you see from certain players and how they perform versus the other 14 practices that took place this spring?
The spring game, I mean, there's some stock for sure because first and foremost, the coaches aren't on the field. I mean, you can't hear the coaches give you that last little coaching point. It's definitely a great opportunity for – it's kind of like an SAT or final exam type of thing. Like, you know, you're on your own. I know you went and paid for all the training and all of the, you know, the SAT prep, ACT prep. That's old school stuff. I don't know if they do that anymore. But you go get all that prep, and then when it's time to go that Saturday morning, go take that test, you're on your own. So that's kind of that's what I take from it. If a guy – I'm going to know if you really know your stuff Saturday, because when we signal it in or yell it in through the headsets – you have to do, I mean, I can't tell you what else to do. So that's what I take from the spring games, and effort and playmaking ability, like those things are, you kind of have a feel for it, but you definitely get to see it more in the game.
Obviously you have a lot of veteran guys to work with who've been around, but mm-hmm. a handful of new guys, whether they're freshmen or transfers, how have the new guys done and picking things up and getting
anytime ready? Somebody's new and they get comfortable pretty fast. To me, I give credit to the guys that are there teaching them and helping them, guide them the way. I think our veteran guys have done an outstanding job at each position. I want to say we have some new players and either freshmen or transfer, like you said. But our guys that were here before have done an outstanding job of mentoring them and teaching them the ropes. And I think that's important. And we understand that if we have everybody in this defensive room available for games on Saturday, we have a chance to do some good things. And obviously it takes all of us. We have a saying that says one shine, we all shine. So we all trying to build off of that and make sure we are holding each other accountable.
Dal was talking about how hectic these next couple days are going to be in terms of trying to get your guys ready for spring practice, but also managing the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. What does the process look like from you? A guy, you know, posted on Twitter, I'm guessing like an analyst or something, GA kind of says, hey, this guy's in, and you have to confirm that and then watch a bunch of film. What are your days looking like right now, and what do you have to do on your end to feel comfortable about reaching out to a player?
Well, we have a process here. You know, it starts with our player personnel department based on the amount of scholarships we have, based on the room, based on the need, and you just can't go out and sign over the scholarship number. So we at a certain number right now to where, you know, I may see a guy jump in the portal right now. It's kind of like I see it, but I can't really do anything. But if someone ever gets our attention, we definitely start our process, and it starts in the player personnel room. Then it goes to myself, the D staff, and then it goes through Coach Beamer. And then we try to get the ball rolling. So, I mean, it's just a traditional recruiting process. It can be hectic. It can be hectic. It also cannot as well.
Clayton, you do have a lot of older guys on defense, Debo, Nick, DQ, whoever. For the spring game, do you guys or do you want them to play like the full game, or is this more of a chance, let's let the younger guys play most of the game?
And I think the earlier question was some of the things we get from the spring game is to go along with your question is like also you get a chance to add depth. You get to see – I mean, you definitely want those guys to go out there and get kind of their preseason game out of the way with the crowd and the spotlight part of it. But you also want to see – the young players, the new players, and to see how they perform for the first time. I mean, it'd be our first time seeing them. So it's more of a providing depth. It was the most important thing. I think that's the fun part too.
After these 13 practices, where you feel like things are out with that cornerback spot opposite OD in that battle?
Yeah, right now, I think those guys are, you know, kind of like Coach Gray would say, you know, you want to have, you know, not so many highs and lows. I think those guys have done a great job of competing the right way. We've let all of them run with the ones and twos. We let all those guys get the same amount of reps. And I think all three of them have done a great job. I think we really like that room and that competition. And it's still, I think it'll be one of those things where we'll keep evaluating and keep it moving. And, you know, obviously Judge played more snaps last season, so he has a little bit more experience. Emery's an older guy who's matured a lot. He's kind of put his track shoes up. They're hanging on the power lines right now. So it's good. And I think he has focused and he's shown he's taking the next step. I think Emery Emery made the biggest jump in regards of where he was to me and my mom. And Vakari makes plays all the time and Judges has the experience. So it's a good group.
You look at the guys you have on edge with, you know, Dylan Stewart and Bam Martin Scott and Kyle Kennard. They're so long and athletic. Are those guys and that personnel, is that the reason that you're able to run a flex nickel defense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, just the way things ended last year and how we used Bam, and Bam has been playing all three positions this spring. He's been outstanding, had a great spring. But yes, having Kyle Kennard, Dylan Gilbert, Desmond, PT, that room is really come together, and they've been a huge part of what we can do, and they're learning more every single day. Like, you know, we're still installing parts of our defense to the new guys, just so we didn't want to give it all to them at once. But for the most part, it's been awesome watching all those dudes just learn the system and just get better. But that's definitely the reason why we can do flex nickel.
All right, there you go. Got to listen to a lot of Clayton White right there. I wanted us to be able to hear a good bit from him, because I think with this defense look, and Jay Diz mentions, you know, some of the things from a personnel standpoint, I really like when we look at this defense and what this defense could be this season. And I know it's easier said than done right now, and it's talking season, and we'll have plenty of more time to talk this summer. When I look at this defense, though, outside of that number two corner spot, whether that be Judge Collier, whether that be Vakari Swain, whether that be Emery Floyd, David Spall, whoever that the case may be, could be a guy like even Julius Solomon, who's going to be enrolling in the fall. I feel like defensively, because of the experience they have at multiple levels and the proven talent at that, especially some of the talent they were able to add to that linebacker room and add to the defensive line. I'm not saying South Carolina is going to be the number one defense in the country next year, but I think the defense could be one of the main reasons why this South Carolina team, if they're able to have success in what will be a very difficult schedule, it will be a frigging gauntlet. But you know what? It's the SEC. That's what you sign up for when you play in the SEC, especially now with Texas and Oklahoma coming into the conference. But having said that, this defense could be really special next year. Really special. And I think if they can figure out who's going to be in that number two corner spot, because obviously it's a very important position, if you can figure out who that guy is and you can find someone that you truly trust, and if Judge is that guy, if Vakari is that guy, if it's someone not even in that room right now, maybe it's in the portal, I don't know. If they can find that guy, I think this defense will really be able to take that next step. And when you look at what they did towards the end of last season,
There's no reason why they shouldn't be able to. There's no reason why. They finished the year off so freaking strong defensively. And I think when you look at what they were able to add in the offseason, it should excite you. It should excite you. Yeah, of course, some of the competition that they're going to be playing this year from an offensive standpoint, Ole Miss, we know there's teams that put up points. I'm not saying they're going to look like the friggin' 85 Bears. No one's saying that defensively. But I think they have the chance to do some really special things on that defensive side. Let's answer a couple more questions and we'll wrap things up. EXO Makes says the press conference really was good today, especially Loggins was pretty funny too. His comments about the difference between offense and defense. You can hear how he feels about the defense. No question about it. And that's the beauty too in the spring. The spring, fall camp, as a former defensive guy, we would bust the chops of the offensive guys and vice versa. And the coaches get involved with it. It's the same deal. You know, the offensive coaches are busting the chops of the defensive players, and it's good. This time of the year, it's fun. And that's what you got to do because you're only playing against yourself. You don't have the luxury of scrimmaging other teams, and you're around each other so much. So that's all you can really do. Cocky Joe says, I agree, Jay Diz. Talking about the defense. College football tradition says, Bam Martin Scott is going to increase his draft stock tenfold this year. I'm right there with you. We talk about his length. We talk about his speed. We talk about his ability to finish tackles in close space. He did those things, especially towards the end of the season. The majority of his tackles, he had over 20. I think he had like 30-something tackles last year. And like more than 66, more than 70% of them came over the last three games. I mean, absolutely absurd. But it goes to show how much they have trust in him. And when you look at how things played out last year, and shouldn't surprise people when you see some of the guys that decided to enter the portal for one reason or another, one of the reasons was because Bam put himself in a great spot to be a starter this year. And I think the competition in that linebacker room is going to be tremendous, but Bam to me is an early favorite to start at that outside linebacker position. Oscar Attaway Jr. says, I got to watch the show all over again. I hate it when I'm interrupted during these Gamecock shows. Well, you're a busy man. You're a busy man, Oscar Attaway Jr. I don't know if you're going to the spring game on Saturday, but if you are, let me know. Would love to be able to introduce myself. Appreciate you tuning in to all these GC Live shows that we do. Travis Edwards says, Mr. Oscar Attaway, too. I love how we're doing OA2 for Oscar Attaway Jr. and then Oscar Attaway, the third, the running back now for the Gamecocks, 083. See, Cocky Joe says, truth, Oscar. College football traditions again says, I predict that in the same way Clemson fans had to put their foot in their mouth in regard to Brunell, so will Gamecock fans about Clayton White after this season is over. They have the talent to do it. They have the talent to do it defensively, and it's not easy in this conference. We know that. It is not easy. It is not easy, but they have the talent, they have the experience, and they have it on all three levels. They should be much better this year defensively. There's no excuse, no excuse. Even though they're trying to fill that number two corner spot across from OD Fortune, there's no excuse. Oscar Attaway Jr. again says, yes, sir, I'll be there. Front and center. And Oscar better run that damn ball. I'm looking forward to watching your son play. Oscar, I'm looking forward to it. I know a lot of other Gamecock fans feel the same way. And I've said this before, and you know I've said this not just because you've been in the room on these shows, but when you look at the situation right now with some of the injuries, and I understand this fan base is very excited for Rocket Sanders, and rightfully so. And I hope Juju McDowell was able to recover quickly. And he's able to be the Juju that we all know him to be, especially early on in his career and some of the things that he was able to do. But this will be a tremendous opportunity for Oscar this weekend. And it's not just about running the football. It's not just about running the football, fans. It's about being able to catch the ball,
something that Oscar has proven during his days at North Texas, and being a difference maker in pass protection, which is something else from talking to Oscar the third, Oscar Attaway the third, that he takes tremendous pride in. So those are some of the things that I want to see on Saturday. It's not just, okay, I want to see him obviously have a phenomenal game, run the ball, get some big yard, no question about it. But I want to see the other things too. The things that, as a running back, when you're talking about being a three-down back, and certainly in this room, it's going to be difficult to do that for anybody. And when you have the talent like USC does, especially if everyone's able to get healthy, why would you? But that's the mindset that you need as a running back. You need that mindset of, okay, I don't want to come off the field. And when you look at the versatility that Oscar Attaway the third can bring to South Carolina's backfield, if he's able to do those things, man, it's going to be difficult for them to take him off the field, especially if he's able to go out there and prove that he's capable of being someone that you can trust in pass protection. Marcus Lattimore talked about it all the time, the shows that we did. What's the toughest way for a coach to take you off the field when you're a running back? Prove that you can be consistent in pass protection. Travis Edwards says, for as bad as most think the D played, we improved in rush yards per attempt, yards per game, and even points per game. Defense was 6, had 7 new starters, and got better. Now we add depth. No question. No question. William Jones says, old school running game, Oscar. Cocky Joe says, defense going to be much improved. I believe speed is key. Got a lot of it. Got a lot of that speed. Oscar Attaway Jr. again says, the defense looked good last week when I was there. That was that second inter-squad scrimmage. Oscar knows a guy who was able to get in. Good stuff. It's good. The other thing, too, we heard that the offensive line made improvements last week, which was good. And I expect that throughout the course of spring, especially at this point, that you're going to start to see the offense start to pick things up a little bit. Early on in spring ball, even in fall camp, first couple practices, maybe even to the midway point, sometimes it even takes past that midway point, that 10th, 12th practice, whatever the case may be, the defense is going to be ahead of the offense naturally. Like that's just how it goes. So I'm not surprised to hear that, but that's good to hear about defense last week. Big Red mentions, given the results of last season, it's great to see the excitement in the team as a whole. Can't wait to see the growth of this team since the Clemson game. And let's see. Oscar Attaway Jr. says, I'll be there. Okay. EAXO Make says, yes, got to protect the QB. Nothing worse than a quarterback running for dear life. And Oscar Attaway says, pray that they stay healthy, Gamecock Nation. We appreciate all of you. No question. Got to stay healthy. Unfortunately, South Carolina fans and players and coaches and everyone alike knows that after what they experienced last year with Jalen Nichols, former left tackle for the Gamecocks, unfortunately injuring his ACL. What am I talking about, Mike? ACL. I know they begin with the same A, but come on. Did not mention this. Do want to throw this out there. Popped it up a couple times in the comment section. Yes, Omega Blake, former Gamecock wide receiver, is back in the transfer portal after spending, 4 months, if that, at ECU. He's back in the portal with the new rules outside of the SEC parameters right now. He'll be able to hop right back in. So he's back in the portal. Where he goes, who knows? But that's the world of college football, and I don't want to necessarily judge. I mean, I have my opinions on players who hop around, especially guys in this case, goes to one school, is only there for a couple months, and hops back in the portal. But I don't know the full story right now. I don't know if it's about playing time. I don't know what it is. So I'll try to gather some more information before casting judgment on Omega. Wish he stayed a Gamecock, though. Thought he could have done some good things here, but that's the way things go in college football these days. If you missed any of our show, if you're like Oscar Attaway Jr., you got to go back and watch it. It's all right. We got you covered. Head on over to the Gamecock Central YouTube page where you can find this show in its entirety as well as other GC shows. And we also have press conferences. Want to watch the full press conferences today? whether that be from Clayton White, whether that be, we basically showed a little thing from Clayton, or Dow Loggins, or some of the players from earlier in the week, head on over there. You'll be able to find them all there for free. Or if you're a podcast listener, head on over to the Gamecock Central Podcast Network, where you can also find all these shows, as well as the 107.5 The Game Gamecock Central Takeover Hour uploaded there also for free. Appreciate everyone that tuned in today. If you're going to the game on Saturday, maybe I'll see you there. If you see me, say hello. Maybe I'll see you at the Gamecock Bourbon Society event tomorrow night. Lenore Sellers, Brady Hunt, they're going to be over at CB18. Should be a fun time. And then, of course, tonight, Shane Beamer, 6 o'clock, Backstreet Grill. Got Carolina Calls, a nice spring edition for Beamer to talk about this weekend's Garnet and Black spring game. It's been fun. Appreciate everyone that tuned in today. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday and enjoy your weekend. Have fun on Saturday night under the lights at Williams-Brice Stadium for the spring game.